You're listening to the Courageous Life Podcast, helping you develop courage and resilience in a perilous and unpredictable world. This is your host, Sean Mitzel. I'm coming to you from the mountains of northern Idaho. I'm glad you're with us. On today's podcast, I talk about the genetic modification of embryos from three people. And for our main topic, we continue our discussion on how life has changed in our transition from a suburban type of life to one of homesteading and entrepreneurship. On today's worldview topic, I cover an article that was, I think, on Yahoo, and the title is UK Proposes Rules for Embryos Made from Three People. And it says, new rules proposed in Britain would make it the first country to allow embryos to be made from the DNA of three people in order to prevent mothers from passing on potentially fatal genetic diseases to their babies. Okay, so anytime we're hit with something like this, this kind of technological fix, biotech, I should say, fix, placing this kind of thing, there, it is always a slippery slope. You know, at what point are they crossing the ethical line? At what point do we start to see designer babies? Because I think that is ultimately where it will lead. There's no doubt in my mind it will lead to that kind of work in this area. This genetic modification of embryos, always these things start with some type of humanitarian twinge to it. It's to prevent, genetic disease. It's to help mothers have children that can't have children. It's always sold as some type of do-good mentality, and that's how it's justified. It's kind of like genetically modified organisms. In other words, our food that is, our GMOs and our food, all for good purpose. It increases production. All these standard talking points, even though there's been tons of research to say that raising food organically is just as productive. And in fact, over the long term, much more so when you consider the depletion of soils, etc. But that's not what I'm here to go into. But when we have the patenting of food, that's the comparison that I want to bring in here, which is what we have. They're literally the patenting of food where the individual farmer cannot even save his own seed. Okay, that's in my mind, that's criminal. You should not be able to patent life. Now, do we really think that in this case, when we're talking about using three different DNA, we're basically gene splicing in for humans, that there won't be some type of patent technology? I guarantee you there will be. There's already human genes that have been patented ever since the Supreme Court made that decision. And I don't remember the year right now, but they did. And that's what led to all the patenting of food and even human genes. Now, I don't know in Britain if that is the case, but I don't think there's anything that good that can come from this. I think this is something that people should be very leery of and should be stopping, quite frankly. What do you guys think has been difficult in this transition, kind of moving from suburban life and of relative ease into a life of work?
Yeah.
Although we all enjoy it and we having a good time, but it's hard.
It is hard. It's much harder.
So what's difficult?
What do you think, Lindy?
You can never say you don't feel like doing something because your life literally depends on it.
Yeah.
So, right. You can't say, well, I don't feel like cooking tonight.
Yeah. And you can't say, oh, I don't feel like going out in the snow and getting the stubborn goats into the barn.
Right.
Right.
You have to.
You have to. It's not an option.
Or getting up at 7:30.
Before 7:30.
Yeah, before 7:30.
So you can be out there at 7:30.
To be out there.
Yeah, the other thing is shopping. It's a lot more complicated because there has to be planning ahead. We don't run in to town several times a week.
No, we roll We usually go once a week.
Once a week. And that's usually our thing. So we keep a running shopping list. We try to make sure that we're putting things on the list long before we run out of them so that we stay stocked.
Right.
Because you don't want to run out of, I don't know, toilet paper or worse yet, diapers or something and go, oh, gee, yeah, I needed those. Well, I went to the store yesterday. You know, that should have been on the list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's, yeah. So we're pretty strict about that.
We are.
You have to tell us if the dog food, if the cat food, if the diapers.
Things are running low. We need to know when they're low, not when they're out. And so shopping has become a little more complicated because it's not close. You know, it's not. The other that I noticed almost right away from moving out here, because you weren't here yet, was the garbage run. We do not get garbage men coming up and picking up our trash cans and dumping it into the bag.
Well, we just
got
to wheel the garbage can out to the road, right? Yeah. The curb?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We don't have a curb.
Exactly. We have to load it into the back of the truck and drive it several miles down the road and get out of our truck and dump it into the dumpster. Right. Which, when you do it, honey, it just doesn't bother me at all. It's like the garbage men are here.
Right.
But when we first got here, it really was. It's like, huh, I got to make a garbage run. Like, get all the garbage in the back of the truck, and I guess I'll add that onto my, you know, list of errands to do.
Well, sure, and we don't make a separate garbage run.
No.
It goes in conjunction with
other things.
Other things.
Yeah.
But it also means that we very much minimize our garbage.
We do.
So
we compost,
reusing everything that we can.
Yep.
We don't. There's no food waste.
No.
None.
Especially not now that we got the goats and we have the bunny, which eats quite a bit.
Right, but
even
before, we compost everything.
Everything, yeah.
Any kind type of food waste is composted, unless it's going to go to the goats or the rabbits. Eventually, the pigs.
Yeah, that will be great.
So yeah, at that point, we won't have enough food waste.
Right. Exactly. We won't. And we've been pretty good about food waste anyway. I mean, even all the carrot ends and the celery ends and things like that, if I'm making my chicken foot broth, you know, my bone broth, I throw those in to the bone broth.
Right.
So sometimes I'll take that away from what we would normally give now the bunnies or the goats.
How about this? It just made me think of that when you were talking about chicken feet.
Uh-huh.
Is that several years ago, could you even have imagined working with chicken feet?
No.
or rabbit heart.
No.
Rabbit heart is delicious, by the way. Cooked in chicken foot broth.
Yeah, yeah. No, I couldn't imagine that. And what's funny is that the only reason why I started looking up chicken feet was because I knew we were going to raise our own chickens. And I'm like, there's got to be a way to use every part of the chicken without waste. You know, and right, I understand there's some things that you just can't use, but the majority of, like, you know, the gizzard and heart and all these kinds of are usable.
Absolutely.
Not only that, the head and the feet make excellent chicken broth.
Right.
And, you know, bone broth. And as a matter of fact, the lady that I was reading in one of her blogs, and she was raised in the country, and so that she's not a newbie to any of this stuff. She throws the head in, feathers and all, and beak and all, and all of that, and then when she strains it, it catches the feathers and stuff, and it makes a really good collagen-heavy bone broth. So yeah, the chicken feet is just the intro to the bone broth, because as soon as we have our own chickens, we're going to be tooting chicken heads too.
Yeah.
Wow. Yummy.
It's good. I mean, you know, like I said, this is it's a transitionary thing that we're doing. A few years ago, we would have been like, what?
I would have probably thought that somebody was insane.
Right.
Like, ooh, I don't think I'm going to go
eat
at her house.
But now it's like, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
And the broth is tasty.
Right.
It is.
And then the dog eats, after you're done with it, the dog eats.
The chicken feet.
And the vegetables. All the vegetable scraps that are in there. He loves them.
Right.
Yeah. Everything's saturated with all that, the chicken flavor.
Yeah. Now, you talked about having to tell... Or everybody having to understand when we're running out of things in order to
plan ahead,
all that. Yeah, but ultimately, our goal is to make fewer runs.
Yes.
Because we won't need as many runs.
Yeah. I mean, I would be happy if we could get it down to we were only going into town once or twice a month.
Right.
That's what my grandparents used to do. They lived way out in the middle of nowhere, and they grew the majority of their own food. They went into town for things like sugar and salt, those types of things. But, you know, they didn't make daily runs to the store or even a couple times a week to the store. They prepared and they got the things they needed. And toilet paper. I mean, they did run out for that. They didn't make their own toilet paper.
Yeah.
Although Family Cloth, it does cut down on toilet paper use.
Just family mentioning. Cloth?
Family Cloth. Remember, I think I mentioned it on an earlier podcast on how to save money. You know, just taking old t-shirt rags and using that as toilet paper. We're only doing it for number one, not number two.
Yes, another thing that a few years ago we couldn't have imagined.
It was something that I did do many years ago when you were deployed once, and other cloth items.
Right.
But it isn't something that I ever stuck to.
I would have never imagined that even like 6 months ago. I still was not imagining it even when it was there.
Right.
but has it gotten pretty normal?
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's not a big
deal. Yeah, okay. All right, so those are some of the things that are more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, that we talked about. All those. How about easier?
Well, how about, you know, you kids have more things to do.
Oh, yes.
I mean, tell us just some activities that if you don't have work to do, what kind of things can
Although
you
do? That's explore kind of rare.
The woods. Yeah, it is rare. But explore the woods. We have 40 acres and we're living on a mountain. And we have creeks and a bunch of woods.
Yeah.
And there's wildlife everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, explore. Actually, the kids got to be, you know, we're more concerned about having a moose encounter or maybe even a mountain lion or something like that.
Right.
You know, that it's in the back of our mind. It's not, you know, likely, but it's in the back of our minds because we live out.
Right. In the world. Well, and so what do you guys bring with you whenever you go out exploring?
Walkie-talkies.
Walkie-talkies. We're always in communication with the children. Anytime they go exploring, everybody's checking in, letting us know where they're at, you know, and when they'll be back or things like that. And nobody's ever out when it starts to get dark.
Yeah.
It's a lot more quiet, that's for sure.
You know,
it's definitely more quiet.
Oh, yeah, it's more quiet. It's
there's
it's
no
darker.
Light.
Yeah, no light
street lights. So there's no pollution at all. So you can see the stars. And it's just the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really dark out here. Unless we have a high illume from the
moon.
It's really dark. It's just because there's not a lot of lights out here at all. It's very quiet.
Yep, it is.
So it's very peaceful as well. And everybody wants to come visit us.
It's true. It's like,
which is awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah, we're being more social when we live out in the middle of nowhere than we were when we were squished in with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
That is true. It is.
And people have come to visit us. And matter of fact, people are contacting us about coming out next summer.
That's great. And
We love it. We have space. And so we do want people to come out.
Yeah. As long as they're willing to help work.
We'll put you to work. It's not a problem. But, you know, for them to get out of the busyness of life and to come out and really experience what it's like to live on a homestead and what it's like to work together cooperatively as a family and really not run out of things to do. You know, Austin just got here, a couple days ago.
Yep.
And he's been relaxing and he's been up hiking and gone out and helped Ella feed the horses and gone with Lindy to feed the goats. And he's living in the middle of Los Angeles. And so for him, it's a nice escape from the city and out into a place that's kind of rejuvenating.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's rejuvenating for us every day. Every morning I wake up and I look out our window. I honestly, I don't think I'll ever get tired of our view.
Never. Yeah. Not me. I mean, even our window in the basement has the most amazing view. You can see a Japanese maple tree with the mountains in the background, the woods surrounding. Even on the ground, there's an amazing view.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
I really love it.
One of the main things that drew us to Northern Idaho.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that out of our bedroom window, you can see our homestead.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nice.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, really look over the pasture, look over the forest area.
Look over the barn, garden.
Yep. Yeah, when we do get more animals out there, just as we expand that and as we get our garden growing and all of that.
Over the rifle range.
The price of wheat. We'll be able to really see and enjoy. It's like this is ours. This is the work that we've done, and it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. So that has obviously made some impacts on us. It's made it easier in some ways. And then we have what is different? Just different. Not necessarily harder or easier, mm-hmm. but just different.
Okay, like vehicles that we drive.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a four-wheel drive truck. That fits six, which normally would be great for a family, but we have more kids than that.
Yeah.
Fortunately, in Idaho, it's legal to put your kids in the back of the truck, and they love it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even Lindy, who doesn't have to be in the back of the truck, like, I don't... Matter of fact, we'll have extra seats in the cab, and all the kids will want to ride in the back.
Yeah.
It's true. It's kind of funny. I mean, that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and it was normal back then to ride in the back of the truck, but it's become, like, taboo, and people think, is that legal? And
yeah.
You can't possibly do that.
Yeah.
But it is legal, but we do rarely.
Yeah, it is something
take
we do.
Everybody anywhere.
I know.
So, I mean, it's just
because when we run errands, it's usually just one of us, or sometimes two. Like today, it was both you and I who took Hero to the hospital and ran our errands. But we just don't very often take everybody anywhere because there's no reason.
Work.
Yeah, there's no reason to do it.
Right. So that's different. That's definitely different. And even the second vehicle that we bought had to be an all-wheel drive.
Yes.
We bought a little Subaru, an older Subaru.
Yep.
But that was one of the requirements.
Yes.
Especially where we live, you have to buy an all-wheel drive unless you're going to say, this is our fair-weather vehicle.
Right.
It's not going to work in the wintertime. It's going to sit in the wintertime.
Yeah, especially for us because we do have a steep driveway.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, to the point where we have to take on and off chains on occasion.
Yeah, and Ella's gotten really good at that.
She has.
She gets down the hill, she stops, takes off her chains if she doesn't need them because it's not as snowy or icy, and puts them right back on and comes right back up our hill. She's like gotten to be an expert at that.
Yeah.
Good. Also, heating our house.
Wood.
Wood.
Right. We heat our home with wood. That's our primary.
Yeah, we try not to run the furnace very often.
A backup of a propane furnace.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's our primary.
And that's part of the reason why you're installing that wood stove in the basement in order to cut down on the propane usage in the basement. Not like it uses a lot because there is it is partially underground.
It's a basement, so it's like there's got a lot of thermal mass.
Yeah.
And it's surrounded by earth.
Yeah. So it doesn't get that cold down there. But it will be nice when we get that wood stove put in and we can use wood downstairs. And I think it'll heat the floor in our bathroom, too.
I think it will, too.
Yeah. How about when you go hunting?
Well, I mean, that's a total change just all on its own.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you bring home a rabbit. You're like, oh, I skinned it. And then here you go. We're going to have it for dinner.
Yeah. I mean, before, I have gone hunting before, but I had to go on some big trip somewhere.
Yeah.
To be able to go hunting, and now I just do it on. Yeah, I walk out of my garage.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, got the walkie-talkie. You're like, okay, I'm gonna go hunting for a while, and you're gone, and you're walking the property, and you.
Or yeah, that's right.
Come back with a rabbit.
That's different.
That's different.
Yeah.
And I'm cooking rabbit. That's different.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
It's delicious. It'll be better when we have our own little rabbits, though.
You know what's like? We talked about this before, but I want to expand on it. And that is when Lindy, you said it very well, is that when we live so tightly compacted, none of the neighbors helped each other.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about, you know, like, oh, I you know, help you push in your garbage can or something like that.
Right, right. And we've had some neighbors, like, mow our little strip of lawn in the front.
Sure.
Occasionally.
Sure. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but it's kind of rare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and even when there was that, there wasn't a real close friendship generally. It wasn't something, it was just I'll do this for you real quick. And we've done it for our neighbors too, or brought cookies, or we heard someone was sick or someone had a baby. But there wasn't a tight-knit community feel.
Right.
Even in the military and even overseas, which was always a little bit surprising to me. But there's kind of an individuality and there's not really a need to be be that close and neighborly.
Yeah,
and here there is.
Everybody can take care of themselves. And,
yeah.
You know, and people do that here. They can take care of themselves here, but there seems to be a sense of community here.
Right. Well, because there's some people that are just better at certain areas than others, and they recognize that and don't come, I can do that just as good as you. Like, well, no, this guy's the expert in this, and let's, you know, he's going to help us with this, and then I can help him with this. And,
right.
You know, it's because there is more particular skills necessary to live this kind of lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's been one of the most encouraging points of living out here now is being able to interact with neighbors and learn from them.
Yeah, they're so knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Sometimes talking to them, I feel like, my word, we know nothing. Like, we have so much to learn. But you know, that the thing is, that will be us in 20 years.
Right.
I'm even hoping that we learn enough where, you know, very soon we can start passing on what little knowledge we have to those who are brand new. And
well, and you know, and that's what we're trying to do with this podcast is, even though we fully admit we are not the experts.
Right.
And just about all of the things we talk about, but we're learning them and we're passing them along as we learn them.
Well, yeah. And I think that if people do this, it allows people to more quickly adjust and learn.
Yeah. And because that's a great point. I think that we have and are, of course, we have a long way to go.
Mm.
But we are adjusting very quickly because we have gone out of our way to do the things necessary, whether that's listening to others,
mm-hmm.
asking them questions, or doing our own study, you know, whatever it is, that's gotten us along further and faster.
Right. Or watching or seeing that. Like when the ducks were getting processed.
We said, hey. We'll volunteer. We'll come work for free so we can learn how to do this.
Right. And it's participating in something because you know I'm going to need to know this skill.
Right.
And, you know, you're offering up your help, which they really need. And you, in turn, are getting the benefit of being able to learn.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about some of the things, Lindy, for you that are different. You know, obviously your workload is drastically different. Just the lifestyle that we're living. Can you think of anything else that's different, say, from, you know, Okinawa here?
Well, just about everything's different.
Yeah, I guess we've talked about a lot of that.
Well, one of the things that I want to bring up again, and I know this is something that we talked about earlier, is just the fact that when we're working daily, it is working towards something that we're building for our children, something we're building for our grandchildren. It's a legacy. It's not just for us. We're not working for our own benefit. And then when all the kids leave the house, we're going to start going on our vacations and start traveling and buying our sports cars and all those types of things. But we're literally working every day. And we talk about it frequently, you mm-hmm. and I. What are we building for our children? And so that our children and their spouses and their children can have something. Maybe they come and they live on the property and they decide, I want to start this business. Well, we've provided a framework for them.
Right.
And that's important.
Yeah.
That's important to me. And for us, family has always been the most important thing.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Besides the Lord. Obviously.
We are trying to do something here that's radically different.
Yeah.
And even different from how we were thinking.
Yes.
Even just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, we're not looking to get our kids out of the house as soon as possible.
Right.
You know, that they would have the opportunity to be able to participate in this should they choose to.
Right.
And like you said, provide that framework or the I don't know, set the playing field to where that they can jump in and be able to take over something or start something.
Right. Because they see a need. They see something. They go, I'm really good at this. I enjoy this. And can I start that?
Right.
And it's like, yeah. That's awesome.
Right. And I think it's really, one of the reasons I think it's really important is because our lives are changing. Our country is changing.
Yeah.
Our culture is changing. And so, you know, having that opportunity to build something is important.
Yeah.
That they can be able to start a business or whatever else. I mean, this whole notion that we're all going to run off and they're going to go to college and they're going to get a good job is not for sure.
Right. Not the way our country's going right now.
Right. You know, and that's just the truth. Anybody who's willing to see it can see it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a little bit of building there towards self-sufficiency and resilience.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the points in this, which is something you're bringing up that's really important, is that not only, you know, the way that the direction that the country is going right now is not necessarily conducive to a successful life, but that if things do happen, you know, we do experience a financial collapse or issues like that, that the kids still have this, they still have the homestead.
Right.
They still have food because they've been working on the homestead and they're not only participants, but now they get to reap the benefits of the homestead. And the importance of saving seeds and doing all of that so that we can keep all of our food production going. We've got trees that you've been planting that the kids have participated in.
Right.
And they're building something big.
Yeah, and it's kind of a, again, it's a radical change from a culture that has embraced over-specialization.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, so somebody, they get a career and they're a computer programmer.
Right.
And not that there's anything wrong with being a computer programmer, but if that's all that person knows,
yeah,
you know, that's it. And if that industry collapses, well, they're done.
Right. What do they do?
And whereas it used to be that people were generalists with some specialization, mm-hmm. you know, they had a couple areas of expertise or maybe one area of expertise, but they still knew some general skills.
Well, yeah, because, right. I mean, people, I'm just going to bring up like a blacksmith. Okay, so the blacksmith was the blacksmith of the town. He could make all that, but he was still at home with a garden, with probably a milk cow. He probably had some chickens. And so he was still providing the majority of his his family's needs through his own homestead and then bringing in extra cash from his business on the side.
Right. He was a generalist with a specialized skill. Yeah. As opposed to today, where most people, including ourselves, were in our old, you know, our old mindset, was you specialize in one area.
Yeah, and it makes you vulnerable, especially with the way that things look now.
And quite frankly, it's just not as a fulfilled life.
Right.
You know, when you can when you can take care of a lot of the things yourself, I just think you're more fulfilled. It doesn't mean you have to do everything yourself.
Right, because there's some things that you should stay away from, like, I don't know, plumbing. But that's just my opinion.
Right. Or it's like, okay.
Anything has to do with water.
Right.
Oh, man.
So things get really bad, we'll build a cabin, it'll be dry.
Well, you know, that I don't know, I can't remember where I was reading it. It was like magazine recently that was saying that the majority of young men growing up today don't even know how to do basic home repairs or basic auto maintenance. You know, just checking the tires.
Changing the tire.
You know, putting changing on chains. Changing the oil. You know, they can put gas in their car, sure. But anything beyond that, they're going to go to a mechanic or they're going to take it to Jiffy Lube or whatever because that gets too complicated.
Because we've gotten into a specialization mindset.
Yeah. Totally. If work needs to be done at home, they're calling somebody to come in and do it because they literally don't know how. They were never taught and they never bothered to learn because why should they? They're probably working all day.
Yeah. So
It's a lost art, lost trade.
Yeah, it is. I tell you what, homesteading, though, brings you back to that pretty quick.
It does, very quickly.
There's not a whole lot of things that you have the luxury of calling out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also look at it as a challenge. It's like, okay, it's my next thing that I am going to learn, that I'm going to study and teach myself so that I'm able to do this on my own.
Right.
Even if it takes you all day.
How do I install a wood stove going through a wall? Okay, I guess I gotta watch some videos.
Yeah, and you know, you do it. And maybe it's not perfect, and maybe it's not the prettiest it could be, but it's functional.
That's right.
And that's what matters, really, in the end.
All right, so anything else with regards to how our life has changed in the last 6 months.
Well, all of us are together more.
We are together more. That's certainly true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're together
all the time.
All day.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned, but Sean's home all day. Love you, babe.
Yes. I'm sure that is a true statement. Our scripture for today comes from Psalm chapter 41, verses 11 through 13. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. This concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Please visit us on our website, thecourageouslifepodcast.com. We'd appreciate any comments or questions that you have. And also like us on Facebook, The Courageous Life Podcast. Semper Fidelis and Soli Deo Gloria.